I'd like to get your Bibles this morning, and if you need one, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us, and if you will, I'm going to ask you to open to two different passages this morning. First, we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 12, so if you'll turn to Hebrews 12, and while you're there, also be finding Philippians chapter 3. So Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read the first three verses. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And now if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul writing here says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach Thy throne of grace, we just thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, dear Lord, that not only do You show us Your grace, Your love, Your mercy through sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary and offering us salvation, but Lord, You show us the path of living for You and through You. Lord, I pray this morning for one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus that today will be the day of salvation. Maybe there's other decisions that, Lord, You would have us to make for You in obedience and following Your leadership. And Lord, I pray that we will do so at the conclusion of this message. But Lord, I pray that You will guide my words and Lord, if they will go forth in the manner in which they're intended, touch our hearts this morning with Your Word, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, this new year that's coming, that's starting tomorrow, enters into the 2018 year, and no doubt it's going to bring about new changes, many new challenges, many new problems that we will have to face. Some will come our way, no doubt. We shall no doubt see new styles, new fashion, new devices. And you know, if we look at just the technology, how it has changed, where just a few years ago, we had phones that were tethered to a 25-foot cord that was all scrambled up in our hanging in our living or our kitchens that reached throughout almost the entire house. To where the phones that can touch satellites are in our pockets today. Just the technology over the last 20 to 30 years. So new styles, new fashions, new devices. But I pray that we will continue to live and proclaim the old gospel. All right. The good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow we're going to be given a new page in the book of life. Each page of 2018 is blank. Each day we're going to record a record of our daily activities and even our secret thoughts. And I pray that God will help us to be careful what we will record in our respective books of life. This morning we're going to look at some areas of our faith that I believe that at times need to be renewed. And if nothing else, a greater commitment unto the Lord and His service, and to be steadfast throughout this new year. And I want to begin with talking about that we need to be praying that God will help us to a renewed faith. And what I'm talking about is a faith that's truly centered in Christ. As we opened our message this morning here in the book of Hebrews, we read that we are to look unto Jesus. And notice what it says about Jesus. He is the author and He is the finisher of your faith. He is the author and finisher of my faith. And we're to look upon Him. In fact, if you go back into chapter 11, you would find that we're to have the same type of faith as people such as Abel, Enoch, or Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and all of the others that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. Because as it says in verse 1, they stand as the cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us. Our faith must be centered in Christ. Now I will tell you that we are living in a world that is changing daily. Man puts his faith in man. Man puts his faith in government. Man puts his faith in money. And we're not to put our faith in any of those things. Only Jesus. We're not to put our faith in our earthly positions in life, our influence, our abilities, but only in Jesus. Now, for some of you, you say, you're just preaching to the choir, Pastor. I know that that's true, but the question is it true in your life? You may know it's true, but is it true in your life? And that's the question that I really want us to ask ourselves this morning. Is the center of our faith, that which we draw strength from, is it squarely resting in Jesus? He alone was the one who saves us and keeps us saved, but is He the one that we are really drawing strength from, and is He the one that we're truly placing our faith in? The reason I raise this question is because in the ebb and flow of our day in and day out, if we go back and we look over 2017, we look at the things that have happened just in this last year. Man has, in many ways, put his faith in man. Man, in many ways, has put his faith in government. And one of the things that we see, you know, I don't care what election it is, everybody believes that whoever is placed into the office of president is going to bring about something great for man. I will tell you, it's only God that's going to bring something greater out for man. Man can only do what's within the boundaries that God gives them access to. So when we think about Christ, we think about what He's done for us. We think about not only did He save us, but He keeps us. I'm reminded of what was written in Romans chapter 8, starting verse 35, where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then there's a list, if you will, of things that are put forth to ask. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? It says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But it finishes up in verse 37 and says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. It is our faith squarely grounded in the fact that we are more than conquerors through Jesus. But we ought to be praying also about a renewed faith that we continue to live for Christ. In our text in Philippians, let's go back to Philippians again here in chapter 3. When Paul was writing, Paul said that he was led to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. In fact, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, what things are behind? Well, we can look at what's behind, the victories that we had yesterday. But those victories are done yesterday. Those victories are gone. We look at the things that we have been able to maintain, to reach, the claims that we've had, those are yesterday. What we did for the Lord was yesterday. You know, there's a lot of people that sit in churches today that's got a little age on them, and they say, well, you know, I used to do this for the Lord, and I used to do that for the Lord. I taught this Sunday school. I preached this message. And just let the younger people do it. I will tell you is that we are not to rest in yesterday's victories. God may have allowed us to do things for Him yesterday, but those things are done yesterday. The question is, does we take what we had yesterday and reach toward tomorrow for the mark that is before us? Because you say, what is the mark? I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Being able to step into glory, being able to step into heaven, that's where we keep our eyes focused on. I press toward the mark. And what Paul was giving here was an illustration of a runner. I press toward the mark. If you ever watched sprinters, one of the things is that you watch sprinters, and especially when they're running in the 100, you know, either the 100 meter, they're running in the 400 meter, they're running 4 miles, 5 miles. One of the things in that press toward the mark, especially when you have two people that are basically of like skills, like speed, and they are coming to that finish line, is that one of the things that they will do is that they won't be looking at the track behind them, because every time you look back, you lose time. They will be looking for the mark that's in front of them, which is the finish line, the finish goal, if you will. And oftentimes when you see runners, is that what they will do is that as they're running, and especially when you've got a couple of people that are finishing about at the same time, they will do everything in their power to extend their body. They will extend their chest. They will extend their head. They will extend their arms, anything they can, so that they might reach the mark. You see, that's what we need to be in 2018. Striving toward the mark that is before us. We are running our race in the Lord. And I will tell you, my race is different than your race. But we run together. We run together. But my race is different. My calling is different. Your calling is different. We run our race together. But we run as that runner runs. Everything about us, we don't, now I will tell you, there are times we look back at our past and we say, where did I fail? Every good athlete will do this. They will look at old footage of what they did wrong. They will take coaching, they will take instruction, and then they will start to push away the old stuff to bring in what they need to do to change so that they can go forward. That's what Paul is talking about. I push those things that are behind me. I reach forth for those things which are before. But you see, we have to have a renewed faith in the Lord to live for Him in the areas and to go far for Him as He is calling us. You know, one of the things as a child of God that we need to sometimes renew our faith in is a desire to produce works for Christ. Now, I'm gonna say that again. A desire to produce fruit for Christ. How many times have you thought of that this last year? Have you asked this question, am I producing any fruit for the Lord? Or am I just living to live? Am I really living in faith? Am I trying to see that there is actually fruit being produced? If you were to survey your life over this last year, have you cried, wept for the lost? The psalmist wrote in Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Have you shed tears in faith, seeking that the Lord would save someone, an individual that you've been praying about? We can't save them, but we pray that they will be saved. We also find in Scripture that it says that in Proverbs 11 and 30, it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When was the last time you sought an opportunity to share the gospel with someone else? That you actually sought an opportunity. Lord, put somebody in my path that I might be able to witness for you. It's not so that I get something in return, meaning it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. The other place that I want to look at this morning is about what that we should be praying about is that God would help us to a renewed steadfastness in our position with Christ. That it would renew us in a steadfastness. Now what do I mean by that? Realizing that we stand on a solid rock. Realizing who this rock is. You know, as a child of God, we should live in strength. We should live in confidence, knowing that we're secure in the Lord's hands. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 22, it says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. If you study about David, David was chased by Saul, who wanted to kill him. And he yet had faith, meaning David had faith in the Lord. And not only did he have faith in the Lord to protect him, he had faith in the Lord that he praised God for protecting him through all those times that Saul tried to kill him. But you see, David placed his faith in the Lord. Can it be said about us that we are a man or a woman or a boy or a girl after God's own heart, as it was said about David? Can we say that? Can we say that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer? Have we said that this last year? And are we willing to say it in this new year? You know, David, he proclaimed, he said in Psalms 40 and 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. But you know, sadly, there are many Christians today that have become timid in their steadfastness with regards to their position in Christ. And here's the reason. We have been so caught up in being politically correct. We've allowed the world to dictate to us when, where, and what we can worship. We've allowed the world. We have cowered down in many ways. And in some ways, because of the political correctness that has run in our lives, and here's where it starts. It starts in our schools. Don't you talk about God. Don't be praying in school. Don't be bringing your Bible. Don't pray over your meal, children. Don't pray before a sporting event. Don't pray. So we've been told, leave God at home. And what has that done? That's permeated itself into the workplace. Leave God outside. No one should be offended. So we have people that in their own little cubicles where they have placed verses on their little boards in their cubicles, somebody walked by and says, well, I'm offended by that. And they haul you down to HR and say, you've got to remove that. In this Christmas season, somebody put up the word Jesus. And the homeowners association knocked on their door and said, sir, you must remove that name Jesus. But we're celebrating Jesus. It's the time of the birth of Christ. But you offended someone with that sign. One person got offended. So therefore, you must remove that sign. And we cower down many times and remove those verses, we remove those signs because of political correctness. And then we see that same idea has moved into churches. And don't you be talking about blood in the church. Don't be talking about sin. Don't be talking about the need for repentance. Don't be talking about hell. Only talk about heaven and what God owes you. The only thing God owes you is hell. That's all He owes you. Praise God for His grace that He offers us salvation. Praise God for that. So when we look at renewing our steadfastness in our position with Christ, irrespective of what the world tries to say and influence us, is that if we're not steadfast, we are going to live our lives in spiritual weakness instead of spiritual strength. In fact, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 17, verse 10 and 11. Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. In other words, we may plant, we may put our seeds in, we may do all of these things, and it may look like it's coming up, but if at the end of the day, because we are not steadfast in the Lord and because we have sown in spiritual weakness, our harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of deep sorrow. Jesus, as is recorded in Mark 8 and 38, made this statement, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, when you read Scripture, you'll find There's a man by the name of Demas. You know, there's only three places in Scripture that it speaks about this man. And beyond what it says, we don't know much about Demas, except I believe that in the three small places that it shows up, I believe it speaks volumes as to his steadfastness in his faith in Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Colossae, Paul closed the letter with the following statement, Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, if you study about Demas, and again, there's not much to study, but you have to conclude that first of all, Demas did travel with Paul, and he may very well assisted in writing the Colossians letter because of Paul's eyesight. But then, when Paul wrote the letter to Philemon, we also find that Demas assisted in writing this letter, again due to Paul's eyesight issues. But Paul addressed Demas as such. Philemon 1:24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, or Luke, my fellow laborers. So what do we find here? He penned at the very end of two letters. Demas greets you. Demas is a fellow laborer. You have to believe that Demas started out in faith. Demas started out in faith and he was steadfast in his position with the Lord. But then tragically we read the following about Demas in a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. Because 2 Timothy 4:10 says this, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. When we are timid in our steadfastness in our position in Christ, when we are spiritually weak, we can see that we can quickly slip off of our solid foundation in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to imply by any means that one can lose salvation. It just simply means this is the reason why we need to daily renew our steadfastness in Christ. Because otherwise, we will look at the world. We will look at what the world has to offer. We will look at the world and its glamour, its glitz, and all the things about it. And then we will be drawn into following after it, and we will have an opportunity to love this world and forget about our steadfastness in the Lord. We will become the political correct people. We will become the people that are so timid. And I will tell you, is that no child of God should ever want to see the Lord giving us the label of Demas. No child of God should ever desire that the Lord would label us Demas. That we loved this present world more than the Lord, and we followed after it. And when you look at that word, forsaken, it says, For Demas hath forsaken me. It means that all he had been, that he had stood for, he took it and he threw it asunder. All that he stood for, everything that he stood with Paul about, the lessons he might have taught, the gospel he might have shared, he took it and he set it aside. You and I, in looking at 2018, want to look at our lives, and I think this is one area that we are all susceptible to stepping into as far as forsaking the Lord. Now, I'm going to be very clear what I'm going to say here, so I want you to listen very closely. Just because you come to the church when the doors are open does not mean you haven't stepped off loving this present world. Just because you show up every time the doors are open doesn't mean your heart is here. So it's important for us to seek the Lord and have that renewed vision in the Lord day after day after day. Remember, every day is a new page in our life's book of 2018. We also need to be reminded of why we want to be steadfast in the Lord. because of what Christ did for us. Scripture says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is one of the things that you can go back and remember. Be reminded of what Christ did for us. And as a result, it should prayerfully help us to renew the assurance. You know, and many times people forget about the assurance that we have in Christ is because of the fact we take our eyes off the Lord. And this assurance is greater than any doubt that Satan can bring into our lives. You and I have no reason to doubt our relationship in the Lord. But we need to be reminded that sin can have a very dramatic effect on our fellowship with the Lord. That sin can have a very dramatic effect. You know, I find is that Satan can use anything of our past to derail us of our future, if we allow him. Anything of our past. He can dredge up old hurts. He can dredge up old guilt. He can dredge up old lifestyles. He can dredge up all of these things, if we allow him to shake us in our assurance in the Lord. He can bring these back to our memory. But one of the other things that we need to understand is that we are overcomers in the Lord. And we need to be renewed of that assurance. We need to be renewed of the fact is that the Lord gives us the path to deal with temptation. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Lord promised us, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, by the way, don't ever say that God tempted you to sin. God will try you to make you stronger. Satan will tempt you to defeat you. We need to understand the difference between a trial and a temptation. In fact, the Lord says in His Word in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth He any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. One of the ways that we can have a greater assurance in the Lord and not be tempted to sin is that every time that sin shows itself to us, temptation shows itself to us, is that we need to be reminded, Lord, help it to flee quickly from my memory. Because you see, it's when the lust is able to take hold, lust bringeth forth sin, and then sin bringeth forth death. Well, Pastor, even though I looked at it, I didn't embark in it, but what was in your mind? What was in your heart? We need daily cleansings. Because I'll tell you, Satan is going to present us with all kinds of images in our life every day. And I need to be assured daily that the Lord will help me in the cleansing every day. Here's the reason why. I have about three different gates that come into my mind. I have my eyes, the eye gate, what I see. I have the ear gate of what I hear. And you see, what comes in my eyes, what comes in my ears can have an influence on my assurance with the Lord. And my willingness to be drawn away by my lust. But there's one other gate that sometimes we overlook, and I call it the smell gate. That gate affects my smell with regards to food, perfumes, and all kinds of things that it can muster up in my life to draw me away from the Lord. You see, that's why when we look at the temptation that comes upon us, the temptation that Satan will bring upon us day in and day out, I need to be reminded of what the Lord says, how to be able to say, Satan, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. I'm a victor. I'm a conqueror in Jesus. Satan, get behind me because of the strength that I have with the Lord. Even if I am tried, even if the Lord brings trials in my life, the Lord's Word says in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now in this case, we look at this temptation of also be called a trial. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that I want to mention to you about the reason for renewing our assurance in the Lord and about pushing those victories behind us. I may have won a victory in a temptation from Satan. I may have come through a trial that the Lord had given me this past year. But you see, if I rest in that, I expose myself to my own confidence. If I rest in what happened yesterday, I expose myself in my own grandizing of myself. If I rest in that yesterday, I have a potential of forgetting to thank the Lord that He got me through that yesterday and pressing towards, and I thank myself. You see, as an example, one of the things that we look at with Gideon. Gideon was approached by the Lord. He says, I want you to go into battle for me. I want you to lead my people into battle. And Gideon turned around and says, who, me? Who am I to go to battle? And we know the story of Gideon. We'll get past the wool with the water on the wool, not on the wool, or the fleece, if you will. And then Gideon was called upon the Lord. He says, you have too many men. But I got a battle down in the valley with innumerable people. You got too many men. All those that are afraid, send them home. And they went home. You still have too many men. Bring them down by the water. Because he had 10,000 men. He says, observe all of these 10,000 men, how they drink water. Those that take the water and cup it and bring it up to their mouth while they're still watching, put them in one position, one place. Those that come and stick their head down in the water and lap like a dog would get water, put them on the other side. And I'm sure that when at the end of the day, Gideon says, those 300 that are over there, they'll be going home and I'll be keeping the 9,000 over here. He says, no, send the 9,000 home. Because he says, there's going to be a great victory with 300. What do you mean there's going to be a great victory? So that all may know that it was God that gave the victory. And not you. You see, sometimes we look behind at the victory and we take credit for what Jesus did in our life. He says, so that it's understood that when I press toward the mark of the high calling, I'm looking to the one who can give me the victory, and that's Jesus Christ. Irrespective of if it's a trial or a temptation. So we find is that we are to look at the Lord and be assured that He is going to get us to that finish line. But you know, one of the things that we also need to be praying about is a renewed life of service. A service that we bear the cross that God has given us. You know, the Lord has a divine plan for each and every one of our lives. But we need to surrender to that plan. His plan. And in fact, the Lord says, as recorded in Luke 14 and 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, a word of caution here. Too often we hear the call to commit or to renew our lives for a life of service unto the Lord, and we immediately draw our thoughts to a perceived weight of unhappiness and lack of joy. Did you hear what I just said? The Lord is calling us to do service, and we start looking at all the negatives. We do. We look at, what's this going to cost me? What do I have to give up? Does this mean I've got to go to some foreign land? What does this mean that the Lord is calling me to take up my cross, the one He's given me? And so it becomes a very much perceived weight of unhappiness and lack of joy. And I truly believe the reason that we fall in this pitfall is because we fail to remember what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and what it says about the cross that He wore. In fact, going back to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Notice what it says about Jesus. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him, talking about Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, meaning all of those that stood against Him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So oftentimes in our life, the service unto the Lord and bearing the cross that Christ would have us to bear for Him is that oftentimes we look at the pitfalls, the potential pitfalls. We don't know what's in front of us. And so what if we stub our toe at times? So what if we fall down at times? The Lord is there to pick us up. That's, again, pressing toward the mark. Think about the cross that God gave, that Christ gave to Paul the Apostle. Paul made this statement. I will tell you, here's a man that was beaten three times. And when we talk about beaten three times, it's not like when you were small and your mom or dad took you over and paddled your bottom for two or three swats. Not talking about that. We're talking about the cat of nine tails laid across his back, 39 stripes. And for a Roman, not one count more, 39, three times. Shipwrecked three times. Bitten by a venomous snake. Now, he didn't die, but I'll tell you, getting bit hurts. Fangs hurt. How many times was he thrown into prison? Just think about the Philippian jail that he was thrown into. And yet, when he came to places and he preached, there were those that rejected him. He was preaching there in Ephesus. And what did they want to do? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to drag him to the arena. They wanted to make sport out of him. But the brethren got him out of there. But he told Timothy, he says, as recorded in 1 Timothy 1 and 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And notice what he says about himself and who he was. He says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. And at the end of Paul's life, he made this statement as he also wrote the second letter to Timothy. Because in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6 it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Because we find what? He pressed toward the mark of the high calling. Because he knew that at the end, there was heavenly treasure to be gained. He knew that that was the mark of the high calling. He knew that at the end there was eternal salvation. And what I mean by that is that though he had the trouble that he had while here on this earth, though his eyesight was failing, though he went to the Lord and says, "Lord, will you take this thorn that's in my flesh?" And he asked him three times, "Will you take this thorn away from me?" Whatever this thorn was in his flesh. And the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you see, as a result, is that he was willing to deny himself. I truly believe that the Apostle Paul came to understand what it meant to deny himself, to take up the cross that Jesus had given him, and he followed Jesus all the way to his last breath here on earth. How can you and I replicate what the Apostle Paul did? How can you and I replicate what Jesus did while he was here on earth? Well, as simple as what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 states, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, daily, is this 2018 record book is being written. Daily, I need to surrender my life to Christ. If I am going to be successful in this new year for Christ, I must start to understand when the Lord said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, I must engage in following Jesus. Now the negative is also true. If I'm timid and I don't follow Jesus, then I'm not going to be a fisher of men. That makes sense? If I'm timid, if I'm spiritually weak, I will not follow Jesus. And I'll tell you, there's not a program in this world that we can ever put on to mimic preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not a program in this world. We, in our programs, will never win someone to Jesus. Only the program that Jesus has given us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Meaning, win the unsaved to Jesus. Win the lost. Win the unbeliever. They have to be persuaded, not convicted. I can't do that. Only the Spirit of God can convict. But you know what? I can tell them about Jesus. And if I'm timid, if I'm spiritually weak, I will not go forward. I will not bear the cross that the Lord has given me. And I will not become a fisher of men. And the Lord warns us in Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And I will tell you, Demas still lives today. Demas lives today is because, A, we forgot the joy that we have in Jesus, serving Him. And you know, one of the things I believe that we've also lost and why we don't serve Him more and become the fishers of men that God would have us to is because we don't have the joy in seeing a lost soul being saved. He said, how can you make that statement? Do you really rejoice? I'll just ask you the truth. I'll just ask you the blunt question. When you hear of a lost soul being saved, how does that affect you? Is there joy in knowing that they've been grasped out of hell and they're now on their way to heaven? Does that really affect you, or is it such a cavalier? Well, good for them. Good for them. You see, until that joy enters into your heart, your mind, and you say, Lord, praise you that another one has been saved. Because I will tell you, if you won't rejoice, I'll tell you who does rejoice. All the angels in heaven. The angelic witnesses, they rejoice when one lost soul is saved. Well, you know, it ought to be true as it is in heaven. It ought to be true on earth. Amen? When one soul is saved, we ought to be rejoicing. Because you know why? Jesus is still in the saving business. One of the things in bringing us to closure this morning, that if we're going to be successful in 2018, I believe that we need very much a renewed prayer life. Each and every one of us ought to be seeking the Lord. First of all, seeking Him for yourself. In fact, we're told in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The Lord promised that He is near, but we need to seek Him. When we start seeking the Lord in our own hearts, when we start seeking Him with confidence that He hears our prayer, when we start seeking Him and understanding, as the Scripture says, that as in Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain of mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we have this type of confidence, then and only then, when we are seeking Him for ourselves, can we then start to seek Him for someone else. If you are not standing firm in your prayer life and in the confidence that we can come to the Lord, what confidence are you going to have in the Lord? I'll show you the difference, what I mean. If we're not confident in the Lord, then here's how our prayer will be when we pray about our lost brethren. When I'm talking about the world. Here's our prayer. Lord, I have confidence that You can save. Save the world. When we are not confident, if we do not have the confidence and the steadfastness in our own prayer life and in praying unto the Lord, bringing our prayers, bringing our supplications, bringing our petitions, if we do not have confidence in the Lord in our own situations and praising Him in our prayers as well, our prayers for other people are going to become watered down. You will not have tears. You will not have weeping. Now let me give you the other side of that. In my fictitious people, I have Johnny over here that I've had opportunity to witness to that individual, but Johnny has never come to know Christ as Savior. But because I have confidence in the Lord that He is the Savior of all mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, I start praying, Johnny, well, Lord, will You open Johnny's heart to Your gospel message? Lord, use me to be able to speak to Johnny. And Lord, if Johnny will not listen to me, Lord, I pray for someone else to come along that they will listen to. But Lord, if Johnny will not listen to me, maybe I can be used to speak to Sally. Send me to Sally so that I may be able to speak to Sally, because you see, there's probably somebody praying, Lord, send someone else to speak to Sally, and I will be the mouthpiece to Sally. You see, when we have confidence in the Lord that He can convict Johnny, He can bring the message of salvation to Johnny, we also have to have conviction that He can also bring the conviction to Sally. But it may be that we may not get any very far inroads with Johnny, but you know, we're seed planters. The Lord says, as Paul said, I plant, Apollos comes along the water, but it's God that gives the increase. Somebody might have planted over here with Sally. We're the waterer. God can still give the increase. But you see, we need to have steadfastness. If we're going to be successful in the Lord as He is working through us, we must not only be willing to talk to Johnny, but we also need to talk to Sally. Be that mouthpiece that God would have us to be so that we can point others to Christ. I will tell you, there is no greater reward that we can ever share and see is when we are able to witness, when God allows us to witness a lost soul trusting in Jesus. There's no greater reward. Because you see, what it reminds us is that, you know, when I became a child of God, somebody prayed for me. Somebody witnessed to me. Somebody got to hear when I said, I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior. You see, it was a great blessing to them because they had witnessed, they had prayed. They were the ones that were asking, if they will not listen to me, send somebody. And I heard the gospel message and I believed it and I accepted it. And now we turn around and say, I am who I am because of the grace of God who has saved me. And as the Apostle Paul said, and has given me the ministry of being a witness. All of us, all of God's children, have been given the ministry of witnessing. But you see, if we're going to fulfill that, if we're going to be those fishers of men, we must have a renewed strength and commitment and assurance that Jesus can save just as well today and tomorrow as He did yesterday. As He did yesterday. You know, we hear about great masses of people who were saved years ago. And we seem to see fewer people being saved today. And we ask this question, well, is God not as powerful today? Is the world more powerful than Jesus today? And the answer is no. Jesus is just as powerful as He was yesterday. That's why Paul said, I continue to press toward the mark. Pressing toward the mark is, I'm going to witness, because Jesus is still in saving business. I'm going to share the gospel. And for those who are saved, I'm going to encourage in the gospel. I'm going to encourage when my fellow brethren, they start to falter. They start to waver. They start to become backslidden. I'm going to pray steadfastly and earnestly for them. Because why? I don't ever want to see anyone ever be labeled by God as Demas. Where I might have had some influence by praying for also saying, brother, sister, look at the path you're going down and look where it's going to lead. They may not listen, but I'll at least have said it. And all it starts with skipping services. That's where it starts. Making excuses why I'm not in church. Then what we end up with is we start to love this world. And my friends, I'm a firm believer of this statement. When we let things get in our path of service, meaning to draw us away, we need to be careful because God can take away that thing, that individual, that job, whatever it is that's keeping us from serving God. God can take him away, take it away, if we're not careful. That's why 2018 is a brand new book in front of us.
Right.
Every one of us are going to get one. 365 pages. New book. What's going to be written on your book? It starts today, the last day of 2017, with us coming before the Lord. First of all, if we don't know Christ, to receive Him, and that starts us on a good year. If we know Christ, a recommitment, renewed faith of, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to have You work through me. I want to be the servant. Break my heart for the lost. Break my heart that I am weeping for the lost. But use me as a mouthpiece. I will be steadfast in You. I will stand on this rock of salvation. I know that You are my protector. I have assurance in You. Remove the timidity from my life. Remove the weakness from my life. May I stand in Your Word, because Your Word is true. Sanctify me in Your truth. You see, if that's our prayer, and you have to pray that prayer, I have to pray just like you, then I will tell you, at the end of 2018, we will see some great things have happened because we were willing to stand in Christ. May we stand as our musicians come for Hymn of Invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and you realize that you need Jesus. We invite you to come to Jesus. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, Lord, the challenge that You've given us to go forward for You, pressing toward that mark, Lord, I pray that as You've touched our hearts this morning, as You've convicted us, Lord, that we will take upon ourselves this challenge and realizing that we need You on a daily basis. You've told us that we need to pray without ceasing, but You've also said to rejoice evermore. We rejoice in the good days and we rejoice in the bad days because we know that all things work together for good. For those that love You, those that follow You, and those that are taught by You. Whatever the need of the hour is this morning, may we surrender our lives under Your leadership. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.